the latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident Personal Credit.
Kia ora, g'day and good evening. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One. Tonight we have an action-packed show ready for you this evening, covering all the hot topics in the world of rugby league as well as the autumn internationals, both down under and here at home on home soil. Joining me in the studio, I have my brother to another mother, RRP, Robert Russell Parker, keeping me company. And joining us in the studio is a former England international and Super League star for the Huddersfield Giants, Chris Thorman. We'll also be hearing from Steve McNamara, Big Slamming Sam Burgess. And remember, we want your views, so get in touch through the website at pulse1.co.uk or use Twitter and just hashtag RHP Show. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
Mr. Robert Russell Parker, how are you doing this evening?
Robbie Hunter Paul, how are you doing?
I'm very good. You can't say my middle name, can you?
No, I don't like saying. Oh, Robbie Russell Woody. Am I right, though? I'm not saying wavelength.
The fact that we're in the middle of the autumn internationals and there's Samoan names and New Zealand Māori names going on, like Pitahiku.
Hello, Woody.
How good was he? Woody.
Woody. See?
If you read it English, phonetically, it'd be Rawiri. But if you do it Māori, do a proper New Zealand way, Rawiri. Robert Rawiri Hunter hyphen Paul. Where's this going?
If we carry on with your name, we're going to have to extend this show by another hour.
Mate, what have you been up to? As I understand it, you've had an exciting afternoon.
Here at the Pulse, we got a bit of an insight last week to what was going on. So we knew that there was some guy, Ollie, what's his name?
Ollie, don't act like you don't know.
Oh, we got
you've
star
been
struck.
Squealing like a little girl up in the offices all day long. I'm going to see Ollie. I need to get him a sign. I need to get him a Bulls jumper.
Well, Ollie Mers has been in the Pulse One studios today. I think he was opening it. So I gave me card. Said if he needs any backing dancers, then I can shake it. I could be like the Bez.
You got to understand,
Mers.
Actually, for all the listeners at home, you got to understand. Rob Parker does not dance; he boogies.
Yeah. I think I can boogie. I can still shake it for a big one.
So, you drop some shapes when you get into it.
Yeah.
Actually, when we were coming down tonight, me and the studio guests, we came down, travelled down together from the stadium, and actually the line of young ladies went stretched all around the car park. And I got to admit, Chris thought they were for him.
Yeah, well, I'd actually tweeted out that I was going to be doing the show and stuff, so...
You thought it was for you?
Yeah, I brought my pens and everything.
Do you feel bitterly disappointed that it wasn't?
I got my picture cards and everything. Do you feel
devastated? Are you broken on the inside now?
Well, I always deep down listen. I know they're here for Ollie, but do you know what I mean? I don't mind playing.
We can pretend, can't we?
Yeah, we can pretend.
The moms.
Yeah, well, do you know what I mean? Beggars can't be choosers in this day and age.
Where did their voice come from?
Pop.
Okay, the normal traditional way of how we run this show. We have a look back and then we'll introduce the studio guest. But he's already jumping in. So, you know what? Let's just do it straight from the top. He's a former England international, played NRL for the Parramatta Eels, Super League for London, Hull FC and the Huddersfield Giants, where he now finds himself as assistant and under-19s coach. And he's a Geordie Pitt.
We are,
I get
man.
That right. We are.
I was just thinking, good evening, by the way. just thinking, you know.
Actually, we normally give him a round of applause. Yay! Welcome to the show. Yay!
Fucking the Titans, Almain.
I'm just thinking about the pronunciation, and I know you're very particular and you're proud of your Kiwi heritage and all that. And
you can say Māori heritage.
See, there you go.
Pacific, you know.
Samoa. It's a bit different when that's Samoa.
Samoa?
That's different, eh?
It sounds like someone's just opened a bottle of jam when it makes that nice Samoa. The suction on it or something like that.
You were going somewhere with this.
No, just it's a pleasure to see you, Rob. It's been a little while. It's nice to see you doing well for yourself, and just actually reminiscing with Robert about some old times. We've
because you used to play together for a long time.
Do you know
that
seems to be
international, was it?
Yeah, international. England under A.
19.
And you're both 50 what? 51, 52 years of age.
Still younger than you.
I was going to say, yeah.
We don't have myself any favours.
We don't have as much Botox as him these days. He's like the kind of Richard Hammond of rugby league.
Okay, look, I'll put my hand down here. I use a little bit of moisturiser, but that's because of skin condition, just like Michael Jackson had. Skin condition. But outside of that, I'm not going down a Botox
you really
range.
You a good thing likening yourself to Michael Jackson.
Well, I will also say that I do not, and I've been accused by Yston Harris and Paul Deakin, are using Just For Men. This is my hair. There's no grey flecks in here at
it's
all.
It's a little bit dark in here, so I can't really comment.
Yeah, and good job it's not been raining outside, because it might have started just dribbling a little bit. But
so,
yeah, me and Spuggy, as is well known throughout the ranks in Rugby League, we go back a little bit further, and there seems to be a recurring theme that most people that you bring on the show...
They've got a history with you.
They've always got a history. There's always some kind of blurry, kind of drunken night out and things like that. So we actually had an interesting conversation before we came on stage. That
On stage.
You see, I've been too much busy with Ollie Murs. but we was in South Africa, and we had this kind of bit of a extracurricular activity, team bonding session.
What competition was it, right?
We went on tour as
England
19s or England A or 21s or something like that, right? We landed in Pretoria. First test match was in a few days' time. We won the first test match against the full South African test team.
Yeah.
We won by 100 points.
Well, I think it was 116-0 it was.
116.
And basically, we thought...
And still didn't score.
We've got another test in 2 weeks' time. What do you think we did in between the tests after winning 116-0?
Let your hair down. I'm going to take a wild guess. Roll of the dice. You let your hair down a little bit.
I'm relaxed. Took the foot off the gas
a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. We turned up with our kind of blow-up crocodiles and, a bottle of Pisbrew in, and we did a bit of sunbathing.
116 against the full South African international team. And what year was this?
I think it was 2001.
Yeah. But they were involved with the World Cup at that time. There was quite a few professional players that were playing in that competition.
We was the emerging England team kind of thing. Gleeson, Martin Aspinall,
Sean
O'Loughlin was in there as well. So we were no mugs, but obviously we went over there and we were young boys or young men playing against some big South Africans who were big and strong. But I remember my old coach Paul Cullen said there's no point being as big as the gym if you can't run around it. Yeah. So they were big lads, but they couldn't really move. So we won 116-0. So we went to Sun City, didn't we?
That's right, yeah.
And obviously a bit of team bonding, a lot of lads from different
Sun
clubs.
City? Is
Sun
an
City,
area?
It's a big complex, isn't it,
really?
With all the
resort.
Man-made
Almost
beaches
like the resort, yeah.
And it's like a big town kind of all, you know, man-made. And like a red rag to a bull, the Miss World competition was being run on the same day that
we
entered.
Careful, guys, this is a family show, remember?
I know it is. So anyway, me, Spuggy, I think who else was there? Danny Sculthorpe and Mark Edmondson as well, who used to play at Saints, who's now over in Australia. We all kind of sat in this hotel. We had a couple of beers, and as the Miss Worlds were coming round from kind of going from the hotel rooms to being judged, we all sat there in the reception, and it was like being on Strictly Come Dancing, and we all just had pen and pads going, 7, 8. I think Miss Venezuela was my pick. And
my personal favourite was Miss Canada.
Yeah.
So they were actually the contestants for the...
Yeah.
Yeah, the genuine Miss World competition, which later in the day, when we were well lubricated...
With their social lubrication.
Yes, yeah.
Team bonding.
As you do. Team bonding was really important. Probably more important back in the day than it is nowadays. It's a little bit frowned upon now. But Jerry Springer was the host,
I
guess.
He was the host of Miss World Comp.
Of Miss World. And Rob and I
in
got
2001.
Absolutely.
So we were just all sat there and kind of judging all these Miss Worlds as they're walking past. And next thing you know, Jerry Springer walks in. There's 7 or 8 lads, probably 10 or 12 pints deep. So Jerry, and I've got a picture at home somewhere of me and Spuggy, and I think you've got him in a headlock. To be fair. So
so most importantly, obviously, all these were full time professionals at the time. You put 116 points past him in the first test. What was the outcome of the second test that 2 weeks later?
We still won by 80 points.
Yeah, but it wasn't over
100. It was 116.
No, we think that they did their own work on us that year in the second game, so they got us back. But
so it wasn't that you guys played worse, it was that they had played better.
Yeah,
there was about a food poisoning the day before, if I'm not wrong.
Just like the All Blacks, and I know it was the 2001 Rugby Union World Cup. There's a conspiracy theory going. So any good international teams, be careful what you eat. Is that what you're trying to say?
That's absolutely... Don't
to all our
don't
South
go to
African
South Africa.
Listeners
yeah,
at home.
Moral of the story.
We know that you're listening around the world. We don't mean anything by that. Okay, well, gents, we've got loads to talk about. We normally cover all of the games that's gone in the past week and before that, so we're going to do that when we come back. We'll also be hearing from Steve McNamara and more from tonight's guests, as well as Big Rob Parker as well. You're listening to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show here on Pulse One. Stay tuned and we'll be back soon.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident Personal Credit. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Hey, West Yorkshire, it's RHP here. I'm with Double RP, and we've also got a Geordie in the name of Spoogie, Chris Thorman, with us also. We're talking rugby league every Wednesday evening here on Pulse One. Remember, if you want to get in touch and throw us a question, you can contact us on pulse1.co.uk or on Twitter, just hashtag RHP Show. All right, boys, we never covered anything of the last week's round, so let's have a look back before we go forward again. So let's first game up. Scotland beat Ireland 25-4. Second half dominance led to the win. I think they started half time. The score was 6-0, so both teams were in it. Chris, you had a couple of the Giants who were actually playing, starring in it, Joe Wardle and Danny Brough. Not a bad outcome for Scotland. They only win away from securing that position in 2016.
Yeah, after speaking to Joe on the telephone about it, my first concern was Joe knocked an Ireland player out and got put on report, so I asked him about that immediately. But he'll be all right by all accounts.
He's saying that.
He's saying that.
He's going to say that.
Apparently he spoke to Richard Silverwood after the game and he should be all right. Very forward dominated game. I think the weather wasn't fantastic.
No.
But obviously we had Danny Brough playing and we all know what a talisman for the Scottish he is, pulling the strings.
Both of those players, obviously, Danny Brough, your captain, Joe Wardle, another important, and he's becoming an elite. He's maturing now as a player.
Very much
also.
So.
He plays on your left flank. Absolutely brilliant when he's on the field, but he has had his injuries over the past few years. There must be a concern in the coaching ranks of the players picking up some knocks during this time. And also, Danny had that groin problem coming into the playoffs before the start of the European Championships. So there must have been some concern about wanting those players to have a good, decent rest before they started the brand-new campaign with pre-season training for 2015.
Yeah, you know, you're a former international player yourself, Rob. I think it's, you know, the players... if they want to do it, then you know you can't stop them from doing it. It's if we want the international game to grow, then we've got to allow our best players to play in it. And certainly there's two of our best players there. Just to talk about Joe Wardle first. Joe Wardle is a massively underrated player, and people forget how young he is. He's still only 22 years old. In my opinion, very unfortunate. Now this is going to be a bit of a contradictory statement, but very unlucky not to be in the England squad. In my opinion, and he's playing for Scotland. I know it's, that's the nature of the beast. That's how rugby league internationally works at the minute. But he's a really tough kid, is Joe.
Rob, you know John Duffy, the assistant coach for Scotland, very well. They must be over the moon with the way the team's performing at this point in time.
Yeah, no, I spoke to Duffs and he was kind of ecstatic the fact that they'd beat Ireland. And to be honest, I was a bit surprised myself at the scoreline, because looking back at the week previous when Ireland played France, and I didn't really think that Ireland would have turned France over. So now, leading into the last game of the season, Scotland play France, and to be honest, Scotland are looking really good to kind of progress.
But in saying that, that kind of leads us on to the next question—not the next question, but the next outcome of the game. The French boys got back to their winning ways. It was a 42-22 win over Wales, and that's what we'd expect from the French international team. They've got a lot of strength and depth, but they didn't perform last weekend. But they seem to be getting back to winning ways again, and they've this. It's a tough hill for them to climb, because not only do they have to beat Scotland, we've got a out in our very strong team, did really well last year in the World Cup, getting to the quarterfinals of the World Cup. But importantly, they've got to score a lot more points if they're going to get over Scotland. They've got to basically do them, because the points for and against is really in Scotland's favour.
Yeah, the points for and against, we were just having a quick look then, and like I say, obviously I was a prop forward, but I think I've worked it out, is the difference of 35.
I think
so
we call it, us in the halves, we call them donkeys, don't we?
Correct. Well,
yeah, either
you were
way.
A donkey.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, moving on. Let's not highlight that. But yeah, I think the difference is about 35 points, so basically France have got to go and beat Scotland by 35 points, and I think Scotland have been doing really well. Obviously, you've going to know Danny Brough, but yeah. I mean, France, they've underperformed. I know they've got a couple of Catalan players out there, but they've still got some good players in their teams.
You would argue also that the pride within the Scotland ranks as well is not going to be satisfied by good enough performance. They're going to want to win that game.
Yeah, I mean, look at last year's World Cup. You know, Scotland got to the quarterfinals, played against your kind of beloved New Zealand, or the Kiwis, and they did really well. And I think there is a big thing on that. You know, there's a lot of preparation that goes into building these squads. And I think you look at the core of the French squad, it's quite, you know, ad hoc and put together because there's not a lot of Catalan players in there. The Scotland squad now have got some real kind of, with your guy Danny Brough, and there's a backbone to that team now that can actually grow the international game, as we spoke about.
Well, let's have a look at that other end of the world where the other international Four Nations is going on. Obviously, massive talking points for all of us. Australia versus New Zealand. New Zealand pumped Aussie on Aussie soil. But the real game to really have a look at and have a discussion about is England versus Samoa game. So you have 32 points to 26 from both of you. How do you think the outcome of that game sort of... do you think there was a good enough performance by England? Not good enough? Why? I'll throw this to you first.
I don't know. I'm a little bit undecided, if I'm honest, Rob. I know it's the first game in a little while.
I'm with you on that one.
But the Samoa are a good team. If you go through them, full of NRL experience. They've got some really exciting outside backs. Particularly for me, watching the game, Simona Winterstein and Daniel Vido stood out. Really started their sets off well. And if you look statistically, Samoa should have won the game. They were offensively, they were ahead of England in most areas. So, but saying that, I think England are only going to get better. They're going to need to get better, that's for sure, when they play the Aussies and certainly the Kiwis, who, you know, are looking in sensational form at the minute. But personally, I think if England can stop the unforced errors, you know, and just turn the ball over in the right area of the field, they're going to be much better.
Well, turning it back around, looking back at the Australia-New Zealand game, do you think that there is enough opportunity with, you know, from seeing the outcome of, especially against the Australians this weekend, do you think there's going to be enough opportunity offered to the English strike force?
Definitely. I mean, if you look at our pack, you've got to fancy our pack. And you know, Australian are missing the likes of Paul Gallen, who is a talisman.
And an enforcer.
And he's just, his presence on the field has a massive effect on how Australia play. And for me, Greg Bird is a great player. Was poor. I thought, I didn't think that front row was particularly good. I thought they got dominated by the Kiwis.
Say that again.
No, that's once and once only. I honestly think that England can really stamp their authority on the game if the likes of James Graham, the Burgess boys, you know, Chris Hill, who I thought was really good in the, you know, again, going, harking back to statistics. I know statistics are only one part of the game. It doesn't always tell a story, but Chris Hill statistically was, you know, what, 20-odd carries, 160 metres, 25 tackles, one miss. And,
he's growing at international level, isn't Chris Hill? Because he was shortlisted for the Man of Steel Award this year. He's gone from strength to strength, only been in the Super League for the last, what, 2-3 years?
You would have played with Chris Hill at Lee, wouldn't you?
I played a couple of seasons with him. I first went down and joined the first year I was at Lee. I used to travel over Ricky Bybee.
Yep.
Now, obviously, Ricky Bybee had played a lot of Super League level, and he had played with some really high quality internationals as well. Yep. And I remember him saying to me when we first started doing our preseason, he said, "Have you seen this Chris Hill? I tell you what, he's good enough for Super League. I think he's better." And I remember at the time thinking, "Oh, I don't know about that. I need to be convinced." But over the 2 year period, actually, over after that first year, I thought, "What is this kid? What is this talent doing in this competition?"
Well, I mean, there's quite a few there's a couple of players now that have actually cut their teeth in Championship rugby and learn the trade, because a quite smart move, really. I know you can never predict the future, but you know, his chances might have been limited at a Super League club, so he was a kind of big fish in a small pond at Lee, got his opportunity and then jumped ship and then went to Warrington, and he's kind of gone under the radar, but he's come out of nowhere, really, hasn't he, if you think about it, Chris? You know, he's been playing well in the England team, yeah, been so consistent week in, week out for Warrington, and now, you know, shortlisted for Man of Steel, you know, but seems to come out of nowhere.
No, it's funny Robbie makes reference to back when he played for Lee, because when I was player coach for York, I remember Robbie... We played you in the Challenge Cup. You came to York and we got drug tested after the game, and it was myself and Chris Hill, and you know, quite an unassuming bloke, but geez, you know, Tony Smith obviously saw something in him, and they've invested a lot in him.
There are actually quite a few clubs, including the Giants, actually, that asked, because they come, quite a few clubs come and ask me about him.
Yeah.
And I think he, for a lot of clubs, he's the one that they let get through their fingers, so to speak. But yeah, he is a real talent that that I think we need to keep our eyes on for the future. When I was playing at Lee the first year, I got to admit, I didn't realise he was so young. He looked like he had done a hard paper round.
I remember speaking to him, actually, Chris Hill, and he actually said, I don't remember you actually being so old. So, touche.
The New Zealand international team, a lot of talent within those ranks, isn't there? Enough to impress you guys?
I think so. I thought they just looked really strong throughout. I mean, Sean Johnson, his kicking game was on fire, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he was, in my opinion, best player on the field. Sean Johnson, he's absolutely has it all. You know, he's probably the quickest bloke on the field. And if you're a halfback and you're getting that many touches of the ball, and you are the quickest and offensively the most threatening player on the field, you're going to create opportunities. I mean, from 1 to 17, again, talking about another fullback, mentioned Simona for Samoa, but Peter Hicko, who is an outside back for Manly and doesn't actually play a lot of fullback for Manly because they have Brett Stewart, who, you know, is a freakish fullback, but, you know, absolutely solid in every single thing that he did. The other thing, that the right edge, Kevin Proctor and Tohu Harris, that came on, really troubled the Aussies. And going to the Aussies, hey, I'm... We haven't got to forget how many players are missing.
Yeah,
and I know you.
We'll cover that in the back end of the show. There's still loads to cover this evening with you all. So stick with us, ladies and gents. We'll be back soon, and we'll hear from England coach Steve McNamara on the Four Nations, as well as discussing all of the hot topics from the world of rugby league. All that and more coming soon. So stay with us.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident Personal Credit. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
You are listening to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One. I got with me Rob Parker and Spoogie, the Spoogman. You know, I said that before, but we didn't really explain why we called you Spoogie.
Do you know why he's called Spoogie?
I do know why he's called Spoogie, because I asked him, basically, when we started playing together. I said, why do people call you Spoogie? Now, I didn't know, because I didn't know the program.
I was going to say, let's put you on the spot.
The Biker Grove character, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Biker Grove, who are from Newcastle.
Yes.
And they all sound like you.
Yes.
There's someone in your... some player, well, it's the start. Which player started calling you Spoogie?
Right? What was Spoogie's brother called? Oh.
Brother.
Yeah, she had a brother.
She was like Jeff's love child, really,
yeah,
wasn't she?
Yeah.
See, the thing is, I apologise if you don't know who Jeff is, but get with it.
He used to look after him. He used to look after him.
YouTube, Biker Grove, and get on it. Best show ever, right?
Lord Stanton Deck.
Female, ginger female, right? How did I... What the... I have bear no resemblance at all to a ginger female.
Okay, I didn't remember that.
You know? That's PJ cool. Duncan, fair enough, but Spoogie, really?
Yeah, there's a picture of him. You and the producers just put a picture up. But anyway, FYI, a brother was called Fraser.
Can you remember
right
Speedy
there?
As well?
Okay, look, I'm going to break you two off there, because we've got to be start talking about rugby league here. Now, one of the hot topics, but in one of previous shows, we were talking about the RFL's decision to move the Magic Weekend up to St. James's Park in Newcastle. Now, you are a Newcastle supporter.
Mm-hmm.
You know St. James's Park.
Correct.
How excited, or what do you think about the Magic Weekend moving up there?
Well, the Magic...
And importantly, what do you think it would do for the game up there?
The Magic Weekend... is a great concept. I love it. You know, it's...
Have you always loved it? Because it was a little bit of an unknown to start off with, wasn't it?
Rob, I was fortunate enough to play in it a few times. I played at the Millennium, I played at Murrayfield, and I liked the idea of it moving about a little bit. I think, you know, the Manchester was a great venue. I've coached there at Manchester at the...
At the
Etihad. It's City's ground, but just generally, you know, the concept of the Magic Weekend is getting all of the rugby league family under one roof, so to speak, to watch, you know, to watch numerous games over
unique,
the course
isn't
of the weekend.
It is unique.
That was going to be my next point. It's unique to our sport. It's really quite special, and the fact that it's gone to God's country, you know, the greatest stadium.
It's not in Bolton, is it?
the greatest stadium, you know, known to man, you know. speaking from a very biased point of view.
Is the water sweeter up there in the northeast? Is the water sweeter?
Newcastle Brownies, son, I tell you that.
But Smuggy, you know, obviously it's going to go up to St James's Park and that, and let's be honest, you know, Geordie's now out to party as well. And I think it's a good, you know, I think it's a smart move from the RFL. You know, all the rugby league fraternity, the family all come together, they enjoy the rugby, they enjoy the atmosphere. And it's a lot of people go who are neutrals that just enjoy the weekend. It never happened in football, but you've got to be kind of, there's going to be some parties up there, isn't there?
Well, that's the thing, Rob. You know, you know rugby league fans, the loyal supporters that we know in our sport will travel. Undoubtedly, they will travel. But the Geordies are, you know, they're mad football fans, but they love sport.
Do you think they're going to embrace what we're trying to take to them?
Absolutely, they'll embrace it. And I must mention, you know, there's Gateshead Thunder, who have been, you know, quite a long-standing professional rugby league club in the northeast, the only one, and they've gone through some turbulent times. And I think it's just reward for their supporters too to go and watch some Super League. You know, the first time Gateshead were in Super League was back in 99. It's the first time they're going to get to watch some real high-quality rugby league.
This Gateshead Thunder, now they've partnered, haven't they, with Newcastle Falcons, the rugby union team. Now, do you think there's a market there for obviously rugby union players? You know, we all keep talking about rugby league players going to rugby union, but is there something that the game of rugby league is going to benefit from this going up to Newcastle?
Potentially, Rob. You know, the main and the contributing factor to it all is money, as we know. And Newcastle Falcons are a very rich rugby union club in their own right. Two guys that I'm, you know, good friends with is Mick Hogan, who is the CEO, if I'm not wrong, of the Falcons, and Keith Christie, who you know, went to the same school with. And I actually spoke to Keith today, and you know, really quite exciting times ahead of them. You know, I think the main thing is that they have the use of all the facilities that the Falcons have, which
they'd be second to none, wouldn't they?
Are as good as any Super League club. So really exciting times in the northeast. And I've got to say, I'm really looking forward to, you know, getting my coach's hat on and stepping foot onto the hallowed turf. And I've already spoke to head coach Paul Anderson.
You don't get to play.
No, I know.
You
hey,
don't
Rob,
get to play.
I get to send the messages. I get to wear my yellow shirt.
Looking at the stadium, you're in great condition. I think you could play, but you're not allowed to.
No, will you be having a black and white flag light around your neck or something like that? You know, little scarf.
I was thinking when one of our boys, I put my Newcastle shirt on underneath my giant shirt, and I'll do a Balotelli, and you know, with my Newcastle shirt on.
Why always Spuggy?
Yeah, nice.
Well, we were talking about rugby union, and that leads on to the next hot topic. Big slamming Sam Burgess this week, named as International Player of the Year. We've got before we say have a chat about this, we've got a short interview with Sam just on that.
Yeah, I guess it's been a bit of a fairy tale, 12 months. I've not really had a chance to reflect on it just yet. I guess when I get a little bit of time to sit back and relax, then I'll reflect on it a bit more. But for now, I'm just enjoying a bit of time where I don't have to get out of bed until I want, and just relax and rest this body up, so I'm ready to go when I get to England.
Actually, in the background there, Rob Parker keeps saying, mate, because he did that, didn't he? And that those interview that he did on the sideline at Suncourt Stadium before the test, England versus Samoa, he kept saying the mate word, but he didn't say it like a Yorkshire, like, mate. He was saying, mate. And I said, it's time for you to come home, son. But anyway, back to Sam. Absolutely, I'm on board with it. I think he well-deserved award.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I've seen a few quotes over the weekend. He probably should have got it last year as well. But, you know, what a kind of poster boy. He's definitely took over your mantle, hasn't he, of the poster boy of rugby league. And I think he's just done the game a world of good. But I think just, all right, you know, not a bad-looking lad. Pretty much like yourself, Rob. Not as good looking as me, but you're definitely in the top
three. Have you ever listened to his mum? The mum said that he was the ugliest baby ever.
Yeah.
And actually, there's a photo.
I think according to Bo Ryan, he's not a fan either, is he?
Bo Ryan.
Yeah, but I think, you know, definitely well deserved. He's had a, you know, an amazing season. He's had an amazing career so far, and it just goes on to another chapter now. So yeah, definitely big raps to Salmon, and well done on his basically flying the flag for British Rugby League.
Okay, for me, the next big talking point and probably the hottest topic of the week is the fact that Steve McNamara has named the exact same starting lineup as last week against the Samoan team that he's going to play against Melbourne, though he does say this, so He does say these few quotes, say even though we have named the same side, there could be a change or two towards the back end of the week, and I think he's showing his hand a little bit there. Those that are unable to train are still making decent progress, so Sean O'Loughlin is definitely improving. It's really difficult to name a team earlier this week. Firm decisions will be made towards the back end, even though he has named that 17. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think anyone within that squad should be left out and someone else brought in? Elliot Whitehead is a bit of a contentious one because he had probably the best season he's ever had. He's made the dream team. He's performed towards the back. He knows how to get over the try line. And not only that, he's quite a big trucker as well.
I've watched Elliot Whitehead on a number of occasions this year, and I've been very impressed with him. It's the coach's prerogative. I just want to talk about Sean O'Loughlin first. I don't think you'd take your captain, you'd name your captain, and you take him halfway around the world for him to potentially play only one game. I think Sean O'Loughlin will play this weekend.
So who do you think he's going to leave out then?
I think he'll leave Joel Westerman out.
Westerman, what about you, Rob? Is it their Wigan connection? Because, you know, obviously those guys know how to play alongside one another.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's the Wigan back through the back row of Farrell, Tompkins, and O'Loughlin.
Well, you've got
standoff as well, though.
Yeah, but he kind of does play his loose forward role as a standoff. But you've got Matty Smith in there as well. So you've got pretty much the spine
of the
team.
You've got Sam Tompkins at the back, who is a Wigan, you know.
Yeah, he's been fluent within that combination over the past few years leading up to this year. But they know how to play alongside one another. Joel Tompkins back in the mix as well. You've got that diamond. The only player that's missing is Mickey McLaurin.
Yep.
But you've got enough talent within that hook with Josh Hodgson. I thought he played well during that game against Samoa. And then obviously this year's Man of Steel, Daryl Clark coming off the bench, first touch of the ball, does exactly what we hoped and expected he would do, split the Samoan line in half and put Shenton away to score that try. So there's a lot of plus points for that Wigan diamond, I guess.
Yeah, but we've also got Stephen Ratchford as well, who's knocking about. So it's a kind of, you've got an abundance of wealth of players in that kind of position, and who can really add something to that as well. So he's going to have a headache.
Rob, just quickly, Rob, before, because I know you're going to move on to something else. I've got to mention Brett Ferrers. Mate, I've worked closely with Brett Ferrers for the last 2 years, and I know what he is capable of. You know, and I think he showed that in the World Cup time he played. And Brett is a phenomenal player, and as good as anybody on his day in the competition.
100%, I believe that he needs to be in that squad. I think he's actually getting his real international chops coming closer and closer together. Okay, coming up next, we're going to continue to focus the spotlight on the Four Nation Internationals. So don't go anywhere. You're with Robbie Hunter Paul on Pulse 1.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show here on Pulse 1. Arguably, this will be Australia's biggest ever international match since the World Cup final as they face off against England in Melbourne this weekend. But before we turn the spotlight on Australia, let's just have a listen to what Steve McNamara, head coach for England, Daryl Clark, Man of Steel, and the Mercurial Sam Tompkins have to say.
Well, it was a tremendously tough game. Samoa played outstanding. I knew it was coming. I knew that, you know, that sort of tough game was coming. And, you know, all week, you know, been explaining to the players the quality of the opposition. You know, it was their final. You know, they had a great opportunity against us, and we had to think deep. We came through some really tough periods throughout that game, and to get the win, with obviously quite clearly lots of areas of improvement in us, it was good.
Yeah, we felt like we were far from what we're capable of, but, you know, it's 2 points we've got in, it's a win, so, a lot of room for improvement, and we'll look to do that next week.
We knew Samoa were going to be typically strong, tough, and play down the middle, and they did that. But, you know, I think we handled it well, but there was patches where we didn't do quite as well as we wanted in that middle unit, and they cracked us, but, you know, we'll improve on that.
All right, those words from Steve McNamara, Daryl Clark, and Sam Tompkins. Now, I say it's the it's Australia's biggest game because the reality is they lost against New Zealand on the weekend. This weekend coming up, if they lose this is them knocked out of the competition. But importantly, and I shouldn't be laughing about this, but, you know, it's the New Zealand thing in me. Importantly, it's knocking Australia out on Aussie soil. It's sort of like, you know, when they lost the World Cup, and I can't stop myself from giggling, but... it's a bigger than big game for them. And you know what, Spooky, you played in Parramatta. Mm-hmm. You know exactly what the media like down under. They will be jumping all over that Australian team, saying they're not good enough, this, that, and the other. They'll be pouring the pressure on themselves.
They sure will, mate. You know, it's that old adage of you're only as good as your last game, and it's amazing how quickly it can fall from grace, isn't it? You know, the Australians were on a world record streak of games, and they lost to the Kiwis, and it wasn't just the fact that they got beat, it was the manner of the defeat.
Yes.
You know, it was very un-Australian-like. Sorry, Rob's just dropped one in the studio and it's minging. it was the manner of the defeat. I think that will... Is the big cause for concern?
I mean, you'll agree with me. They were dominated, and you never see an Australian team dominated. But the Kiwi forward pack, especially, were able to just keep punching holes in the Australian defence, and then lay that platform. So, you know, you spoke about Sean Johnson's tactical kicking. The only chance you get to do that sort of kicking is when you've got time and space.
Is when you're on the front foot, which again that. Kiwi pack is very dominant, and it's going to be really exciting if we can get past the Aussies when England get to play them, you know. But that, obviously, we take it a game at a time, and I think I just, you know, they enabled the likes of Jesse Bromwich and Simon Mannering and Kevin Proctor. You know, they just start the ball rolling. And I spoke about the back three, the wings, and it's I talk about the wingers and the fullbacks getting them on the front foot. Manu Vatavai is playing this week too. You know, for the Kiwis, who is another front row.
Well, you know he'll put the ball down. I mean, Jason Nightingale, I believed it was a try because his index finger doesn't leave the ball, but I am really biased in the way I view it. So no matter what, but anyway, he made up for it, and it was a dominant performance. There were three tries disallowed by the in-goal judge, and there was another try that should have happened with Tohu Harris. He had a three-on-one with an overlap to put New Zealand away. So I think that even though the scoreline showed a massive disparity between the two teams, 30 points to 12, it could have been a lot worse for Australia.
Yeah, massively. I think, you know, coming on what you were saying, Chris, you know, you look at the New Zealand team, they just seem to all believe. They were running like they were two stone heavier. Each one of them ran with some real purpose and very kind of Australian-like, ran like they knew that they was going to bust. Even, you know, Greg Eastwood had a real good game. Everyone looked strong, and I think, you know, coming off, you know, kind of going back in the day, the Bradford Bulls days, we always knew that we was going to kind of make breaks and stuff, and they seem like they believe it now, and on the back of that now they can play off the back of it, can't they?
I think that's a good point that Rob makes. You know, they were anticipating the break, you know, all the time. You know, they were really confident. I don't know what Stephen Kearney's been feeding them, but they were really confident, played on the front foot, and again, like you said, it offers Sean Johnson the opportunity to shine. And I must say, Kieran Foran too compliments Sean Johnson really well in the halves. He's rock solid defensively.
He's a director. You've got a guy that'll move the team around and direct everyone, and then you've got Sean Johnson that can come in with the big plays and if given the time and space. Now, so what does that mean for the England team? Obviously, you've got the big boys, you've got the Burgess brothers, you've got James Graham. I'm with you. I think we'll see Lockers back this week or so. There's a lot of opportunity to punch holes in this Australian team to release the talent that you've got on the edges.
Yeah, well, there's been some kind of bad press in Australia. You know, Australians kind of bagging their own players, the Australian press. There seems to be a little bit of a very English, do you know what I mean? Very English-fied that we kind of bag our own.
Well, have a look. You got the NRL final where the two main talking points were two Brits. You had James Graham and you had Sam Burgess. These were the glamour boys. These were the poster boys for the grand final. And then you've got the Aussie team not performing well and then coming up against the Burgess boys again and James Graham. And everyone's talking about the size in the pack.
Not that we want to make excuses for the Aussies. You know, we're all aware of how many good players they're missing.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you and Jamie Peacock have made reference to the spine of the team. No Billy Slater, no Jonathan Thurston, no Darren Lockyer, which, you know, fair enough, Lockyer's been retired for a few years now. But the point that I wanted to make was that Inglis played half a game and Daly Cherry Evans played half a game. That's going to have a massive effect on how you're going to play offensively.
Wasn't Inglis, was he out? Oh, he came off in the second half with a virus. I mean, that might have gone through the team. And, you know, is that
apparently
now
a couple of players
point?
That week had the virus also? But you know, that kind of says that if he played on the weekend, that means that he was fit and healthy enough to at least get on the pitch. So you'd expect that he'd be back this week as well.
So good job it's not Liverpool FC. I'd say Bid saying he was tired and wouldn't have even got there, would he, if it was
I don't think you'd get Greg Inglis saying he's tired. You know, in my opinion, Greg Inglis is the most phenomenal rugby player I've ever seen.
Yeah,
he's an absolute freak. And even if Greg Inglis, that's only 50% fit, is still going to be one of the best players on the planet. You know, whether he plays or not is going to have a massive bearing on this game.
Okay, so looking forward to the game. You see, Steve McNamara was just talking about they know they're going to have to tighten up on their areas. The players themselves were saying that. So I sense a confidence within them with the comments that they made post New Zealand versus Australia. I think they can see an opportunity coming.
Yeah, definitely. You know, they've got to really jump in it now. There's never going to be a better time for England to go and beat Australia. So I'm definitely I'll be flying the flag this weekend.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you, Rob. You know, he's made that point about there's going to be no better opportunity to beat the, you know, one of the best, well, the best teams,
well, the current world champions.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm looking forward to the match as well. I'll be actually doing the work on the box on the evening. There's also the game before, which is see New Zealand play Samoa in Whangarei. In Whangarei. Samoa in Whangarei. We've also got the Scotland v France game coming up, plus Ireland versus Wales. And gentlemen, thank you very much. That's it for us this week. My thanks to Steve McNamara, Daryl Clark, and Sam Tompkins, our studio guests, Chris Thorman, and my main man Rob Parker. And for all of you listening here tonight, make sure you join us next Wednesday. Total Access is next here on Pulse One. I'm Robbie Hunter Paul.
It's the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One. Across West Yorkshire, Pulse One. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident Personal Credits.